This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Our next guest has spent years working in nurseries, Melbourne Zoo, the Royal Botanic Gardens, where she's tackled some of the hardest plants to grow. And these days, she teaches horticulture, co-hosts the 3CR Gardening Show, and writes about making gardening simple and fun. And her new book is called The Rookie Gardener. It's out now, and it's written for those of us who've killed more plants than we care to admit. Chloe Foster joins me on Drive. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, let's start with you. How did your own gardening journey begin?
It was when I was very little. I've always just loved playing in the garden, and it did start out growing and running around my pa's veggie patch. He grew the best carrots and the yummiest peaches and nectarines, and then didn't know what else I wanted to do in high school, so I decided just to follow that horticulture gardening path.
Keep running around the veggie patch.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's something different about veggies when they come out of the garden, especially at your grandparents' house as well.
Tell me about it.
I remember mine. So yummy and fresh.
Yeah, they actually have a flavour.
What's that?
I know.
Aren't they just made of polystyrene now?
Yeah.
Now, you've worked everywhere. We've got nurseries, botanic gardens everywhere. I suppose, what was the challenge of working in those different environments?
All the different plants. Mm. Every time I've gone to a new job, I've felt like I've started back at nothing again with having to learn about the plants in the gardens and how to look after them. So it's always been, there's always been a little bit of a freak out, oh, overwhelming, I have no idea what I'm doing. It's like, oh, okay, that's that. Okay, find out what to do, how to look after that, and let's keep moving.
So when I see people at the nursery, I often go to some of the nurseries around Melbourne, I have a look, and I see people buying particular plants, and you can tell they've got no idea what they're doing. And I've been guilty of that as well. I think, oh, that looks good. I'll just buy it as it is. You take it home, it's completely the wrong thing. 10 years later, you've got to rip it out or it dies. What would be your basic advice that you would give to someone before they even think of hopping in the car or on the bike and going to the nursery?
It would be to work out what you're gardening in. So whether you're on, like if you're on a balcony, does your balcony face north, east, south, west? Because then if it's east facing in the morning, the sun's going to be cooler. West facing. And the same with your garden beds as well. So know where you are and where you want to plant something. And definitely take a couple of photos to take into the nursery too. Yeah, definitely. Oh. When I worked in nurseries, it was so great when people would bring in heaps of photos because then you're almost there with them. So work out where you're going to, where you want to plant stuff. But then also having an idea of what sort of soil you've got to if you're gardening in the ground. So a sandy soil, which is like a lot of the Bayside suburbs have sandy soils, really free draining of water, but they can also, it can also mean that nutrients will leach out as well. So you want plants that can tolerate your particular soil type. If I put some sort of sandy tolerant plant in really compacted hard clay soil, those plant roots are going to hate it and they'll probably just flip their lid and turn their toes up.
So it's not that the plants, I mean, plants can be sensitive, but it's more we're not necessarily preparing ourselves to give the plant the conditions that it really likes in which it will thrive. So it's our fault, not the plant's fault.
Yeah. And this often happens with people and their indoor plants too. They're like, okay, so I've got this really pretty corner and I want to put this plant that's about this high and it'll droop over this and that'll be really cute. And they get the aesthetic, but it doesn't fit the little the ecology or the little environment of that particular place in their house. So you need to go, okay, I've got this corner. It's a little bit drafty. It gets morning sunlight in my lovely living room, and light in indoor for indoor gardening is really important. So you go down to your nursery and think, okay, or tell the nursery staff, it's my living room. It's really sunny. It's a little bit drafty. And I'll point you to some plants that would be tolerant of those situations. Hopefully you can find something that fits the aesthetic you're looking out for as well. But sometimes you need to put aesthetics aside if you want something to survive or start to appreciate an aesthetic that you maybe hadn't appreciated before.
How do you tell that to someone who says, I really want this?
Well,
but it's the wrong one.
That's the challenge with working in a nursery. There's usually going to be something. Again, still on indoor plants. Like if you want something taller, there'll probably be something taller that will suit a lighter or a darker spot or a like bathrooms are stereotypically kind of a bit humid and a little bit darker. So if you want something taller or shorter, there if you go to a decent sized nursery, there should be options there for you.
Now, if we talk about, we've spoken about your experience, you know, working in the nursery, et cetera, where I'm leading to is you've obviously accumulated a lot of stories from people like me who walk in with no idea, no photos, nothing, and expect you to perform a miracle and pick a plant. It's like, you know, putting blindfold on you and saying, can you pick a plant for this area? Is that what made you write The Rookie Gardener? All those stories?
Yes, all those stories. But mainly early 20s, friends started moving out of home into their sometimes buying or renting their first house and they had no idea what to do. So I started getting all these what to me were seemingly really basic questions and I didn't really have anywhere to send them because I haven't been able – I still, in the 10 years since I wanted to write this book, haven't been able to find a beginner gardening book for Australian gardens. There's beginner gardening books written for UK and US gardens and they're good, but they don't take into account like Australia's seasonality. We're in a different hemisphere and all the little nuances of gardening in Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane or wherever you are. So it was mainly my friends asking these questions and just sort of went from there.
You know what really concerns me about, I suppose, looking to the Northern Hemisphere for plants is weeds. Yeah. I feel like we bring in all these plants. We think they'll look amazing in our garden and then you just have to go. I mean, you go to Central Victoria when it's blooming and there's gazania everywhere. Is that from South Africa? It's gone nuts.
Yeah.
And all the native grasses are being smothered by this plant. So how do we become more responsible gardeners to ensure that we don't go and buy something that's going to jump our fence and invade native bushland nearby?
I think it's, I mean, you and I hit it off straight away 5 minutes ago when we both said we love Australian plants.
Oh, so much.
I think it's really important for us to become aware of and get to know our local Indigenous plants. So Indigenous plants, you know, we're talking about, Greater Melbourne, for example. You could talk about Victorian Indigenous plants, but probably more so you'd apply that to native Victorian plants and use that term native instead. So I would encourage people to get to know their local plants that are around. We are so lucky in Melbourne that there's heaps of local Indigenous nurseries that are around that you can wander down to and guaranteed without you having to flip open a book, there'll be your plants that are suited to your area. And the other good thing about Indigenous plants is they've evolved to be used to the conditions that we're already gardening in. So it's almost a bit of risk management by putting in some, Indigenous plants into the garden.
And cheap, tube stock.
Yes, yeah, so much cheaper. Absolutely.
So much. Chloe Foster is with us on Drive talking about her new book. It's called The Rookie Gardener. It's a funny practical guide for anyone who wants to enjoy gardening, even if you've killed a few plants along the way. Now, Chloe, I'm going to throw two words at you.
Okay.
And I want to hear your reaction. Prickly pear.
Oh, horrid.
Now, it's a succulent, isn't it? It's,
yes.
It's, I believe you hate succulents. I hate them as well.
I hate them.
Why do you hate them?
It's purely aesthetics. They're just not the sort of plants that I like. They're really chunky.
Sharp.
And some of them are sharp and rigid as well. I like movement in plants.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing I do like about succulents is their flowers. And some of them have really spectacular flowers, so I will give them that. But it can take a long time for them to flower and I can't be bothered growing them.
Do we have any native succulents or are they all mainly imported?
We've got a few. A lot of them are from outside of Australia. We've got a native one that grows along the bay here called Pigface.
Oh, with the pink flower.
Yeah, really beautiful. Nice pink flowers. Yeah, and edible if you're really desperate for some for something to, you know.
To eat.
To eat.
Okay. Yeah. I won't eat it, but.
I've tried it. It's really bitter.
But they are beautiful. And I'm all for about replacing, finding, I suppose, replacement plants for things. Like, for example, could you use, instead of Agapanthus, another one that I hate that's invaded the Mornington Peninsula, could you use Dianella instead?
Yeah, absolutely. Dianellas are really easy to grow. You can't kill them as much as you can't kill an Agapanthus.
You can't kill an Agapanthus.
No, you can't. They've got beautiful flower buds, Dianellas, and then they get the little purpley blue berries on them.
Can you eat those?
No, I've tried them too. They're terrible.
Now, one of the things that I love about this book, The Rookie Gardener, is you've made it accessible for people with no backyard whatsoever. So even saying you can start with a bookshelf in your lounge room.
Yeah.
What are the benefits of, even if you only have that small space, of doing something with plants?
A few things. Plants will, by them photosynthesizing, taking in air and carbon dioxide and all that, they will freshen the air in a house too. But for your health and well, another component of health and well-being is that mental health component is really important when to help you plan ahead. I think there's been a lot of research done, and I'm definitely not an expert in this area, but as far as like mental wellness is concerned, that thinking about the future in a good way, and plants can do that because you're like, oh, that needs some water. Oh, that's producing some flowers, or oh, that's dying. Hang on, what do we need to do? It's that, yeah, that almost living together, living alongside each other is a really important component. So, yeah, if you're growing nothing in your house and you live in an apartment or you live in a balcony, maybe think about just going out and buying one indoor plant, like a peace lily or a snake plant. Those two are really hard to kill, so might be a really good place to start.
And if we need the basics on what to do, if we have a look at The Rookie Gardener, you'll explain it to us before we go and buy the plant and waste our money. Now, you've got lots of, I suppose, stories and memories in the book as well, which I really like pulling carrots out as a kid, like you mentioned before, and caring for your nana's rock orchids as well. How much of your personal journey shaped the way you teach gardening today?
Oh, that's a very loaded question. in a really big way. I've been teaching horticulture full-time for about just over 5 years now, and I went into teaching earlier than what I thought because I stuffed my back working too hard in nurseries for too long. So trying to teach students and develop really good horticulturalists instead of being a good horticulturalist and passing on my knowledge in that way has probably shaped how I've written and how I've set out the book.
If someone's listening now and they're thinking, you know what, I'm a plant killer, doesn't matter what I do, what's the one thing you would say to get us to give gardening another go?
Oh, well, it depends. I can't give you one word answer for that because it depends on the plant that they think they're about to kill. A lot of the time people kill plants with kindness, so maybe you need to just step it back a little bit and give it some space.
And don't overwater it.
Yeah, don't overwater it.
Chloe, I love it. Thank you so much for joining us on Drive today. The Rookie Gardener by Chloe Foster, it's out now. It's available at all good booksellers.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.